This is John and Robin Voiles of Celebrate Libraries with a New Ways to Dream podcast. We spoke earlier with director Garrett Erickson of Mead Public Library in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Joining us now are architect Eric Jensen and artist Sharon Quashis, who will talk about the Wild Charitable Fund Clock Tower located on an outdoor terrace at the Mead. Eric, would you like to begin by giving us some background for the project, the Clock Tower project?
Sure. Our firm was hired to, through an interview process, we were hired to take on the project of expanding the library in about 94, 95, I think it was. It's been a while now. In order to do that, we pulled aboard a second architectural firm from out of town who had some library specialty experience, and so that was Angus Young. So it was a combination of Angus Young and LJM Architects that designed this project. A good portion of the way through the design, we were approached by Ed Schott's organization is the...
Well, they're the trustees for the...
The Weil Foundation.
Yeah, the Weil Foundation.
And they expressed the desire to include some artwork in the project. And at that point, it was undefined, you know, where that artwork would be. But through some discussions, I don't remember exactly how it got started, but we stumbled on the idea of maybe in the plaza to the north of the building, a clock tower might be an appropriate feature. And so that idea stuck, and we commenced doing design for that plaza area and the clock tower itself. Sharon had been contacted by the Weil Foundation to serve as the artist for the artwork, and so the plan evolved to incorporate the artwork into the walls of the tower itself. And in a nutshell, that's how we got to the clock tower concept in the first place.
Good, thank you. That's a great introduction. I wanted to get just a little bit of information about you. I'm wondering, are you a Sheboygan County native?
I am, yes. I was born and raised in Sheboygan.
Okay, and LJM Architects? Is that firm still in business?
Actually, no. LJM existed for 32 years until last January when I sold the company to another company for whom I now work.
Oh, all right.
On a part-time basis. I'm approaching my retirement age, and I want to slow down a little bit, so that's exactly what we're doing.
I was looking online, and LGM is responsible for a lot of projects, really an extensive portfolio.
Over that 30-some years, yes, we did quite a few in Sheboygan, and out of town too, but mostly in the Sheboygan area.
And the Weil Theater, were you part of the renovation of that?
Or? Yes, we did. We were the architects for the expansion and renovation of the theater.
And then also Lakeland University, at least one or two buildings you're associated with?
Well, a handful out there. We did some of their residence halls. We did a renovation of the science building. A couple of other smaller jobs in addition to that, yeah.
All right. Great.
I think one of our best projects was the theater. The old Sheboygan Theater renovated to the Weil Center. This one too, I'm proud of. The library is really a nice library, and they have a facility here that a lot of libraries wish they had, I'm sure. So we like those two projects in particular.
Okay.
There are, again, many others offices and restaurants, lots of restaurants around town that we've done, industrial buildings. It's a mixed bag. Our company was one that did a variety of architectural types.
We feel that this library is a jewel in the state.
Yeah.
We hope that when people hear our video, or see the video work and hear the podcast, that they actually make a stop here mm-hmm. and just see this library in the community.
As a matter of fact, we're working on several room renovations and adjustments in this building right now. They have a maker space in one corner, which is going to get relocated. There's a new, in that maker space spot, they're talking about having a little seating area for, you know, 80 or 90 people for small presentations. Mm-hmm. New offices, they're going to group some offices in the basement rooms, and so they're rearranging things to make it even better.
So you have an ongoing professional relationship with the library?
Well, kind of ongoing, I guess you could say that. This just came up a couple of months ago, and the city saw fit to hire us to tackle the job.
Wonderful. So I think at this point, Robin, I'd like to move to Sharon, ask her some things about her background, and then kind of get into the clock tower. So, Sharon, your turn. You're also a Sheboygan native.
Yes.
And we were speaking before we started recording. You went to school in Oshkosh for your
undergrad.
Art background.
Mm-hmm.
And then headed out to
University of Oklahoma for my master's.
For your master's.
Mm-hmm.
And have you always been focused on, or at least at that point, were you focused on sculpture, or did you do other things, 2D?
I started with a major in ceramics, and I found the scale fairly limiting.
Okay.
And started using ceramics as a medium to make small studies of larger works, and then those were translated into different materials, whether they were the large fabric works of the 80s or I still use clay today if I'm, you know, making a model for a big mural or whatever.
Okay. So were you, then you were with O.K. Harris, you're associated with O.K. Harris, which was, you know, a big gallery, Ivan Karp coming out of Leo Castelli and
mm-hmm.
all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Soho in Manhattan, Lower Manhattan.
It's were a very you, exciting time.
Were you living out there at that time?
Oh, yes. I lived in New York for 10 years.
What was the focus when Ivan Karp left Castelli? I was looking through some things online, and it seemed like he was focusing on group shows and emerging talent, at least at the start. Was that kind of his focus?
Well, his gallery was so large that one artist really couldn't fill the gallery for, you know, unless it was a retrospective, let's say, which he rarely did. So there would be usually at least four artists exhibiting at one time. The rooms were very large. So my work at that time was also very large. So a lot of what Ivan did was he had an interest in, I can't really speak for him, but in the artist's manipulation of materials in an intriguing way. When you looked at it, you might not even know what it was made of until you went and looked at it, and then it was some huge visual pun.
Okay. How long were you out in New York?
I was out there for 10 years.
And then you went
to... I moved to Florida.
Florida. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to exhibit and create.
I did. I was showing with Grace Hoken in Palm Beach. And surrounding, at that time, some of my works from O.K. Harris were going into some museums. So there was a lot of interaction and small shows in some of the art centers and museums in Florida at that time.
You had a piece pieces owned by the in the collection of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Was that purchased through CARP or something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a ceramic, a small study of Washington crossing the Delaware.
And you use those themes. You mentioned Washington crossing the Delaware, but I was doing some reading, and you often use sort of these classic American works of art, and then you sort of put your own twist on it, creating with maybe visual puns and some.
Sure,
other
I can sort of show you an example of that. This, for instance, is Washington crossing the Delaware and Liberty leading the people. These are like 10 by 15 feet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're very large. Here's some columns. These were 12 feet tall. There are four of those. What else is there in the...
What does this mean out of?
Fabric. These are all. These are all canvas.
Really?
They're all sewn canvas. All of them.
Wow. You wouldn't think so, just looking.
I know
at
them. They look rather like marble at first. Mm-hmm. This introduction of color here later on, and some reviews. I think I was very lucky to be with OK Harris, and the work was very well received at the time. So.
My goodness, and then.
This incredible experience.
And so, where does in your timeline, where does the work at the Kohler Foundry, but also the Concrete Park, where does that fit in?
Well, the Concrete Park came before New York.
Oh, all right.
After my husband and I left grad school, we moved back to Wisconsin temporarily, and it was when Ruth Kohler was first getting involved in outsider art. And the Concrete Park in Phillips, Wisconsin was their first acquisition and restoration, and I was very privileged to be the conservator for that with my ex-husband.
Okay. Had you trained as a conservator, or was it just your familiarity sort of with sculpture and with materials?
It was more that we were not conservators, and at the time, no one had been conserving folk art. Part of the reason being that it was just such untraditional materials. You know, it was put together with chicken wire and 2x4s covered in concrete with glass stuck in it.
And the artist that we're talking about, Fred Smith, he was sort of a, what we would call now maybe an outsider artist
A
naive artist
or
something, and he was just a, he was a...
Retired lumberjack and bartender.
Who felt the need to create.
At 65, he started.
And he created this expansive area of figural work, and Paul Bunyan, and I think you have some of the other...
There were over 200 images. Sculptures in the backyard.
And
then we had a big storm, and the trees all blew, smashed it wide open.
And now it's considered a very important asset.
You bet.
In the
county.
In the county and in the state.
In the folk art world.
In the folk art world. It was really a groundbreaking project.
Okay. Wow.
We're all very proud of it.
So you've been very, very fortunate to be involved with some of these things that you've been with.
I met a lot of people.
during your art career.
Interesting thing about Fred Smith, I only learned this later too, but they were hired to conserve the park.
Right.
And before they could even get started, or they barely got started, then the twister went through and just leveled everything.
Wow.
I mean, it was just like, everything was gone.
Like a bomb
went off. And it was just annihilated. And so they really started from scratch in the conservation part.
It was a blessing, really.
To rebuild it.
It was a blessing because before that we were very cautious to, you know, deal with. Okay, some couple of arms and legs have fallen off, and the glass is, and there's mold, and or they're getting mossy. But how are we going to do that respectfully? And when the storm came through and knocked the trees down, which cracked all the work wide open, well, from there on, we could work from the inside out and rebuild the structure, put the arms and legs back on, replace those areas that were lost, and literally put them back together again.
Fortunately, you had a photo inventory of the place before the storm came.
I was going to ask.
Well, we were there for 6 months before the storm. So, plus there had been documentation since the 50s. I knew all those people too, because they would always come through yearly and see what was going on. And so we had a lot of their photographs from, you know, when the works were brand new.
Wisconsin Magazine or something maybe coming through. I don't know. That's just a guess. No,
they were mostly artists and intellectuals from Chicago.
Oh, right.
You know, from the school of art there. They were all very much into folk art and had been doing the Wisconsin road trips for years and years. So a lot of times the grad students would come up, or the professors or photographers, stop in.
But then Ruth got her hands on it.
Well, right.
And bit in hard, and they funded that whole restoration effort.
Well, the Kohler Foundation, Arts Board, the National Endowment for the Arts, they all chipped in on that.
So others contributed, I guess.
Through the restoration, and then the park was donated to the county.
Well, change gears a little bit. So after school, Concrete Park, New York, then you, in the 90s, you were part of, you worked at the Kohler Foundry maybe three, four times, something like that, creating things. Were those for objects or sculptures that went into collections here in the state, or were you still sending things out? Were they kind of your foundry for sending things out, or what was that?
Well, at the time, I was still living in Florida, and had made a respectable name for myself, and submitted my work, an application, the same as anybody else. And I don't think it was because I was a hometown girl, but I got in to the program, and I was working on my Picasso series at that point, and made a number of works related to that. Once I had been there and understood the process and knew that I could hit the ground running, it was about that same time that Wild Foundation contacted me to see if maybe we could work with the Kohler Company and the Arts Foundation, the Arts Industry Program, to produce that work economically. Because there were no foundry costs, my work in it, that made it affordable. Works like that in bronze of that size would just be way out of anybody's range.
Would you say that the clock tower? It's a good time to talk about the clock tower. So the clock tower is, four-sided. It's faced with 16 of these bronze panels, a stack of four on each face.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say you've had some very large works, the sewn works, the fabric works? Is this the largest bronze work, metal?
Brass.
Brass, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brass, metal sculpture that you've created, would you say, to this point? Or?
I think so, yes.
Each of those 16 pieces is 4 feet by 4 feet.
4 feet by 4 feet.
About 700 pounds.
Each one weighs 700 or 800 pounds, because it's thick, cast brass. They're not thin shelled sculptures. They're
like a bronze would be, you know, made from wax. The originals were cast in sand in Pepset.
Who installed it? Was the contractor, or was it someone from JMA's?
Yours truly.
Yeah.
You really?
Oh, we've got pictures of that. It was
a
family
crew
affair.
Guys, mostly family wow. people.
Sure.
And a crane operator.
A crane operator.
Yeah.
A small crane.
There we are. It's my brother Dave, and my brother Pete was there, and Eric was there, and myself.
We were
a couple of
inside the tower on a ladder, receiving the panels and putting the bolts through the framework.
Yeah, this is in the studio. Definitely. Getting the. This is actually in the studio, putting the patina on it.
Wow. Great. These are great photos.
Oh, thanks. This is like as soon as the work is busted out of the sand, mm-hmm. usually with a jackhammer, which I do, by the way. I mean, I did everything but pour the metal in the hole, and you cut off a few things. And after that, it's still full of sand and mm-hmm. and soot. I take it to the sandblaster, and that's what it looks like after the sandblasting.
Right.
And that is that's a whole room, the sandblaster. You are in like a space suit with a big hose.
Because they're doing this to like bathtubs
sure.
and other things that
oh, yes.
coloring the color foundry.
Mm-hmm.
So this is
yeah.
the way they're set up, right? Wow.
So you use the equipment that they have, the industrial equipment that they have for their processes.
Do you have assistants, foundry assistants helping you? Or?
Well, Eric was there for part of it.
Except for the actual pouring of the hot metal.
Yeah.
That comes in an automated urn okay. that tips it in and down the hole.
Computerized at that time?
Yeah, I don't think it's
no.
computerized. No.
No,
well, not at that time it wasn't.
No.
But we
So this is the part of the mold making process, which is an ordeal in itself. That's how big the flask is for one square.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to make 16 of those.
And this is what, about 8 feet square?
Yeah, you know, well, it would be something. Like 6 foot square.
Maybe six, yeah.
Yeah, like that. And then after the mold is made, then you have to pop it open, take the original art out, and then gate it and vent it so that there's a place for the metal to go in. It's really a science in itself.
Yes.
And then a place for the
air.
Gas to go out.
Yeah.
Hence the respirators and all the protection.
Well, that is just for this evil sand that comes out. It's a very noxious kind of odor to it.
Oh.
And you just wouldn't... this is the...
model.
The model. There's only one photo there of that, I think.
Do you hold on to your models, or who has the model?
We just destroyed that
last
year.
But we still have the clays.
Clays are still
existing.
Yeah,
they're at the quarry.
I suppose over the years, you need your own warehouse to store this stuff.
This was, this was a one quarter scale model.
Okay.
So it was where it was 4 foot wide actual panel, this was just 1 foot wide.
And was this something you needed then as a maquette to present to say this is what we're going to do?
Yes,
exactly.
That's exactly
Eric
did.
And I, Eric is responsible for the fine craftsmanship of the clock tower itself, which...
I was a carpenter in a former life.
Oh,
yeah. Into which we put these panels and showed it to the wild trustees, and they were very excited.
We had
about
a big
it.
Sheet hanging over, pulled the sheet off, and exposed
yeah.
it to the crowd.
That was lots of fun.
Great. So you talked about the sort of the entire project earlier, taking a couple of years. Planning to realization?
Mm-hmm.
Not that long.
How about the clock tower itself? How long?
It took me 18 months.
18 months to
put together
the drawings
conceive
and
it,
everything?
Okay. And to make the originals, the clays, and to get them to the foundry. And the casting took 9 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you were at that time working, were you in Sheboygan at that time?
No.
Did you say
yes.
Yes,
okay. Actually.
So
was.
That was more convenient to work Sheboygan to Kohler rather than cross country, I suppose, shipping.
Well, by then I'd moved back to Sheboygan.
Yeah. We first, after the basic design is done, we had to make the wooden flasks or mold holders. And so I borrowed a friend's wood shop so we could cut the material and assemble.
Sure.
Well, we assembled at the house, but we cut it down there. And then once the once these flasks, as they're called, were made, Sharon put the did the clay work. But that clay work was done at a rented facility in Elkhart Lake.
Okay.
The old
incinerator
on
FF
on 67.
It's the only place that had a ceiling tall enough to work in.
Okay.
It was unheated. And I worked through the winter for a year on the clays. So I had scaffolding with plastic all around it and space heater.
Wow. That was quite the setup.
Yeah, it was. That was fun. That was in the space. No, wait a minute. Where was it? I'm looking at it upside down here. The place with the patinas on it. Yeah, it was in this space. This is after they're down, of course, but they were up on this wall right here.
Okay. Well, did you work collaboratively? We talked collaboration earlier. Is there any of that that's going on, or do you have your own
There was
roles?
A lot going on.
Okay, I'm sure there was a lot going on. do you help each other out with that? Like, I think this, and I think this, and do you work that way?
Oh, yeah.
On this project you're talking about?
We would be dreaming about it.
It was constant chatter about details on these things.
Yeah. How the bolts go in and
it was a lot of fun, the whole thing. Hard work, but fun.
So the technical aspect, how about the content, how about choosing images? That was all you. Okay.
Pretty much. I don't know, I think I might have weighed in a couple times about this or that, but
sure.
Yeah, the content of the art was 98% her.
Because it's not always individual, isn't it? There are overlapping images from one panel to the other.
They definitely grow into.
Yes, they should be seen. All four panels should be seen as one work.
There's the.
They flow.
The sailing ship, pirate or sailor or whatever. Yeah. Is that from a specific?
That's from. Is it Treasure Island?
Treasure Island.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned. Picasso earlier with Foundry, and I remember an image of the Guernica, possibly one of the Guernica.
No, but the only Picasso is the nudes, the brothel ladies.
Yeah,
that one.
Right.
But you have the other. Why can't I think of his name? The beautiful artist, Pitchfork.
Grant Woods. I mean, they're all of them are from famous works of art.
Okay.
In the arts related one, except for, let's just say a token ballerina or,
a
cherub playing a flute. Let me see. I just want to check them out and see if I can. Hold on a second. So music, classical music stuff. In the arts,
mm-hmm.
I have the arts in here. Yeah, I do. A lot of them are there's a totem pole in here, but they represent all that, like jazz. I would find an artist who had some jazz musicians. Grant Wood, there's Edward Munch, there's a Mona Lisa,
jazz
Picasso. The Five and Gold is, I forget now, but it was a play on Carlos William Carlos, mm-hmm. was the poet, mm-hmm. And this work was an homage to him. So, I mean, that was a nice tie of poetry and painting together.
Okay. Charles Demuth.
Thank you.
I'm reading it here.
That's good.
It's all here.
It's only half of it remains in my brain.
Great. So is there, did you think, so there's this clock tower, there's this theme, a clock tower, art history, maybe the passage of time, an art historical timeline. did you set out to use this as a teaching tool anyway, or a way to present to people who may not be familiar with art and art history, key elements that you wanted to focus on? Is any of that going on?
Well, my intention was to take familiar objects or images from art history in a lot of ways, or illustrations from books that that might be familiar to the viewer, or it might be the first time they're seeing them and have an interest in finding out about it. Mm-hmm. And the library was right there. So, I mean, the whole idea was to pique their interest and their curiosity so they'd go find out about it in the library.
Okay, good. Do you have anything more? Do you have anything more that you want to say about that, in relation to the library, about a project at the library?
Only to say that it was an honor to do it, and I'm very pleased to have a major work of mine here in Sheboygan. Something I can refer to when people ask me what I do.
So the Kohler Art Center has a maquette for a Venus Gate. Was the Venus Gate ever realized in brass, bronze? And does it exist somewhere?
Some of the major parts exist.
Okay.
The doors, the columns, the tympanum. The full-scale works stop at that point, just because, I applied to finish, but I had been there quite a number of times, and I think they really felt that someone else should get a chance to be in the foundry. So the works that do exist are in my backyard, in my garden.
Do you ever think about revisiting things that you've done 5, 10, 20 years ago, whether they be the fabric pieces or something else, and working on it in a different material, doing it in a different way? Do you ever consider that?
Well, there was a big transition from the fabric to other works. Eventually, I came back to a Fred Smith style of work, but related in my own way to myth and art history.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I was making folk art.
Right.
I was translating, I was taking that medium and continuing to follow my own aesthetic for pun and art history.
You mentioned Florida, and I had sent you a quote from a Florida newspaper,
mm-hmm,
about 1991.
It was postmodernism at Grace Hulkin Gallery.
Yeah, and he was talking about the different materials, and that is that something you were just talking about things, influences that you may have picked up from the concrete part?
Well, late in the 80s, the market was falling apart a little bit, the gallery that I was with, Grace Hulkin Gallery, is a smaller gallery. And she asked me if there was any other medium I was familiar with besides canvas. And I said, I know concrete and glass pretty well.
Right.
And so she allowed me to, about a year, to work towards an exhibition of new work in concrete and glass, which I did.
Okay. How was that received?
Very well.
And you're represented in Florida, some museums in Florida?
Yes, the Tampa Museum has Liberty Leading the People. Vero Beach has Watson and the Shark. There are a few others in museums around the country, smaller art centers mostly. At a certain point, we had to find homes for a few pieces because there was no room for storage anymore.
Okay.
They were happy to have them.
I'm sort of getting to the end of my questions.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about recent projects, things that you're working on now, whatever they might be. Eric, you mentioned you sold your firm and you're working with another company. Yeah. And I'd also like to ask Sharon if she's working on some things now and where people might be able to see them, whether they're online or they might be in a gallery or something. Mm-hmm. But if we talk with Eric first.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I sold the company. I took a job, part-time job, with this younger firm that specializes in residential design. But because I have a license and I work for him now, that company can offer commercial architectural services, which we're doing. So I'm doing essentially the same thing that I was before, only with a lot less stress. I'm not the boss anymore. And so I go to work in the mornings, and I usually have the afternoons off, and I'm really liking that setup. So yeah, we were doing a variety of architectural types, including the residential, but library remodeling and some multifamily residential, restaurants, a lot of things that we had done before. I'm just in a new office. So.
And we talked earlier about the Meat Public Library, and I don't remember if it's on the recording or not. So there are some things that you're planning. Some things are in planning. Some renovation here at the Meat Library.
Right. Yeah. They're reorganizing some of the offices. Many of the offices of office cubicles are scattered about. They're going to kind of congregate those in a single space in the lower level, basement. So that's one part of the remodeling. The maker space is being relocated to a new room that isn't quite so open to the public because there's some noise involved with that, and they want to sequester that behind some walls. And so that kind of move is being made. Again, they're going to have a kind of a forum room or a seating gathering room in place of where the makerspace is now. And then they're also converting what is an office area to a classroom with new seminar seating and electronics. So it's three or four areas within the building that are being renovated and change of use.
Just curious, when we were here 3 years ago, we made a series of videos. I don't remember how many videos they were. And it was supported by actually the JSM bead coop. But while we were here, we toured the Holocaust room. And I'm just wondering, just occurred to me, is part of your work, are they going to be working on doing anything with that?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay.
That hasn't come up yet. But as we've been starting out on the project now, a couple of additional things have crept into the scope of work. And so it could happen.
So, Sharon, interested in sort of recent projects? And are there things that you're working on now? And if so, are there things that people can see, whether it's in a gallery or online or in some space?
Well, there are a couple of things that I have done outside of the larger gallery work. I did a line of planters for Bemis. You may have seen this particular planter all around town and other places. It's rather large. It was sort of the Green Man series.
And Bemis is a large manufacturing plant in the county?
Or? Yes.
Right. They're famous for toilet seats, but yeah, they also extrude other kinds of plastic things.
Right.
And Peter Bemis and those folks were familiar with my work and asked if I might be interested in transforming some ordinary planters into something more.
This is actually sort of a kind of a mythical portrait.
Yeah, it's a Green Man.
A
typical figure with foliage for a face. It's been
kind
used
of a
for
British Isles mythological.
Yeah, exactly, like that.
Which also looks like.
Oh, it's rather like the Whistling Straits golf course guy is pretty much the same. Their big sign out there is one I created.
Oh, you did that.
That's in bronze, however.
Okay.
That particular piece was produced in an art foundry, not something was cast at Kohler. Cher did the artwork, the mold, mm-hmm. or the original. And
I did the original, and we took it down to an arts foundry in Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois.
Yeah. So there's that. And then I had another commission for the Yacht Club, the Lowell North Memorial. He's a sailor who...
North Sails.
Yeah, North Sails is a big sail producer for racing yachts, and was a very good friend of Terry Kohler's. And when he passed, they wanted to have a memorial in aluminum.
Oh.
No.
Stainless.
Stainless. Of course, it's walrus. This is, you know, in my studio and creating from his book, Herding Tigers. This is actually how, this is the old one. This is like in his prime of sailing. So we made several of these. One is at the Yacht Club. One is in Boston someplace.
MIT.
MIT, thank you. I'm not sure where the other one is.
Had you worked in stainless before?
Well, no, I work in the clay, and then they cast it in stainless.
Okay.
And the whole sail business was fabricated
At Walrath. They cast this in a foundry in New York. What's the name of the foundry?
Oh, Talix.
Talix.
Yeah. So then word got around, and there was a new project happening in town called Bookworm Gardens. Sure. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes.
But a good number of the works in that garden were made by me.
Okay.
The Wind in the Willows, Jack and the Beanstalk, Winnie the Pooh.
Then I there built the door.
You did build the door, that's right. And, you know, mythical figures and illustrative things about cereal and all different kinds of things like that. Actually, Eric and I worked on this together. This was the fish design for the cleaning stations on the South Pier.
There's some architecture down there. We incorporated some cutout I-beam shapes.
I did a lot of work in steel, too. I don't really have any included in here.
Is this cut out like a laser cutter or something?
Yeah. No, just torched.
Oh, torched. In this
actually,
case,
this one is actually just...
That's a styrofoam model.
It's a styrofoam model.
But, okay. but the actual thing looks very, very much like
yes,
that.
Yes, it's cut out of an I-beam.
Well, and then there's... Do you have any photos of the Veterans Memorial?
Actually, no. I was there yesterday because, you know, my computer, the one that burned up, had most of my photos.
Yeah.
So I went out there yesterday, and I have some on my phone, but it's the, I made a Veterans Memorial in Kohler, or Sheboygan Falls Kohler mm-hmm. Cemetery,
sure.
For the five branches of the military. It's a beautiful thing. We both worked on together.
It was actually my project, and I brought the artist aboard to help create the images on the...
Just happened to know an artist.
Yeah, it just happened to. They said, you know any artists who could maybe do a little something for us? And they wanted something really figurative and historical, specifically related to our community.
Yes.
So that, and there was documentation. Terry Kohler was a pilot. We have the original Coast Guard building. I worked a lot from the old postcards. And
there are a series of five works that are a lot similar to the bas relief look of the clock tower.
But small.
But very small.
Oh, here we go. Let's see now.
And each one highlights those five branches of the military.
So you can kind of scan through that. They're not very good, being just on my... Yeah.
So it's bronze and black granite, and then the art castings. It's a flagpole base, basically. I don't know, you can probably see that, but
nice. What's the size of the panels?
12 by 18.
12 by 18, roughly.
Uh huh.
I think so.
I think they have a web page. Doesn't who is it? The
Kohler Civic Club.
Yeah, they have a website, and we'll go. I think they go through the content thoroughly.
Okay, good.
You know, it'd be fun to take imprints of your hands, or just really using the surfaces that you touch, really emphasizing that surface is like a drawing. Actually, I imagine when you're working mm-hmm. with the clay, it's composition. And kind of utilize that somehow and juxtapose it next to. I don't know if you have plans of going to use some of the, if you have any of the plans, we thought we could go to the city planner. It was recommended that we go there and maybe take your plans. I don't know if you've hand drawn your plans or.
For this tower. Project?
For the tower.
Well, they would have been CAD produced.
Okay.
Probably available. Still.
That would be really wonderful because it's always nice. I mean, when we were with the Frank Lloyd Wright, those were drawn by hand.
Yeah.
And they were compositionally beautiful, the hand stroke and the poetry of
the them. Original concept sketches I would have done myself, yeah.
That would be beautiful.
On a paper napkin somewhere. Those,
where is that cocktail napkin?
We just moved the office 6 months ago.
Recent.
And a lot of things got thrown out, but a lot of it wasn't.
So I look forward to kind of going to town on this and maybe just getting back and forth with you with some ideas. This has been a privilege, and kind of go from there. If you want to work with us, it would be wonderful.
I have no problem.
No, me either.
You know, and I just had one creative thought, and then I should probably... I'm tingling. Joan's going to worry about it.
I'm just glad we haven't been kicked out.
I know. Your beautiful sculpture forms, those soft sculptures, would you ever consider, like when you were telling the story about education with those pieces, it would be really nice to see those being able to go on a traveling exhibition where you could send those out and talk about that creative process. That's all that jumped into my head was... somehow getting that story out.
We got a barn full of them.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Really?
There's a bunch of them.
Because that
stored.
Would be great to get them organized that way and get
they
them
are
out.
So big and cumbersome. I have nightmares about it about once a week, about installation day.
They've almost made it to the burn pile a few times.
Yeah, well, we would have burned them except that there's polyester inside, and I just didn't think that was a healthy thing for the environment.
You talked about your working method and moving Xerox images around and things to try to come up with the final composition. Robin listens to music quite a bit. Is there a certain kind of music you listen to when you're working?
Oh, I watch soap operas.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, do you listen to music?
No, I always have the TV on in the background. Okay. And in those days, it was, you had regular... Like, I had a little portable TV with a little antenna on it, a little hanger.
Yeah.
And, I'd watch soaps all day long or just listen to them in the background while I'm working. Yeah, very inspirational.
Kind of take you away from the work. Different parts of the mind.
What happened to the ink spots and Willie Nelson?
Yeah, but that's cocktail time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's later.
Transitional time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time. It's unwinding.
Eric, Sharon, thank you very much for being so generous with your time and sharing the images and your memories of the building project, the clock tower.
It was our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
It's good to remember this stuff sometimes. And it's good memories.
Good. Well, this has been John and Robin Voiles of Celebrate Libraries with another New Ways to Dream podcast. We've been speaking today with Eric Jensen and Sharon Quashis, the designers, the architect and artist responsible for the clock tower on the Sculpture Terrace at Mead Public Library in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And earlier, of course, we talked with the library director, Garrett Erickson.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.